all of you have, at one time or another, done something in your life for which you have been ashamed. And some of us are fortunate enough to have some of our shameful deeds not known to very many people, and that's great. What's really bad is when everybody finds out about what a fool you've been sometimes. I've gone through my days of being ashamed. Ashamed of myself. But by the same token, I've also gone through days when I've been very proud. And there's many things in my life that I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of my sons. And I never hesitate to identify myself as being their dad. I'm also very proud to be an American. I've never been ashamed to be an American. I have a close friend who is a South African. And during the years when the United States was involved in Vietnam, he used to chide me often about it and would try to make me feel a little bit ashamed. But I always would come back at him with, well, yes, that's true. We do have a few things that maybe aren't the way they're supposed to be. But I would always then mention to him that at least in our country, we did not have apartheid. And so I always got my chance to get my dig back in. But I always, as I would go through customs in different countries, gone through customs in maybe 20 different countries of the world, and always as I come through customs, it is with just a little bit of pride that I hand them my American passport to stamp. People in front of me have their British passports or their Italian passports or their German passports, and that's fine and good. But I'm always just a little bit proud to hand them a United States passport. That's something that means much to me. And I'm sure that as I speak to you this morning, that's something that means much to you too. Never to be ashamed. There's something else that I am not ashamed about this morning. And I know it's probably the same for you. I am not ashamed to tell you this morning that I love Jesus. That Jesus is the most important thing in my life. More important than being an American. More important than being a father. Is to have a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul knew what that was all about. As he speaks to us in verse 16 of that first chapter, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ." And then he gives us a reason for not being ashamed of Jesus. Because he says that gospel of Jesus is the power. You know, the word power is a very interesting word. Every boy, as he grows up in life, at one time or another in his life, has to go and stand in front of the mirror and suck in his stomach and push out his chest and take his arm and flex it for all he can to see what can happen here. And as that little apricot grows on his arm, he looks at it, and in his eyes, he looks like Charles Atlas. That's power. And you know, it's would be an unusual boy, I think, if he didn't grow up, and at least not once or a while in his life, dream about being Superman and having power. I was down to Y this week, and I had just run several miles upstairs, and I had gone down to the next level, and there's a weight room down there. And I usually stay away from the weight room, but I was trying to catch my strength back from running, and so I went and I stood in the entrance there of the weight room. And as I was standing there, some fellow came walking by me who was the same height as I was. And I always love people that are the same height as me. And I get tired of looking at people's belly buttons. And it's great to find somebody walk by that's the same size as me. And I was feeling very good about this fellow until he went into the weight room and took off his shirt. Then I stopped feeling very good about him because he was magnificent. Surely he must have lived in that weight room. He had biceps and triceps and pectoral muscles that just didn't end. You know, and I stood there and I watched him take several deep breaths and, you know, flex everything, you know. And then he went over and he grabbed some weights and threw them up over his head several times, you know. And I was standing there watching him. And he took this one and he put it up several times, you know. And I said, well, you know, if he could do it that many times, I could do it once. And so I waited until he left, you know. And I looked up and down the hall, and nobody was coming. And I went in, and I squatted down, and I took, you know, really pumping the oxygen in, you know. And then with counted to three, and with one great, mighty one, two, three, I got about three hernias. I never even budged it off the floor. It was like somebody had come along and had screwed it down, you know. And nobody had, you know, power, to have strength, you know, to know what power is. You know, we live in a world full of power. And our sun right now, that beautiful sun that's illuminating our gorgeous window behind us, you know, that is power. Did you know that every square foot of our sun's surface produces 8,000 horsepower constantly? Every square foot is constantly pushing out 8,000 horsepower of energy. Our sun is 332,000 times the mass of our Earth. And by the way, you should always say that the mass of the Earth, and not 332 times heavier than the Earth, because the Earth doesn't weigh anything and the sun doesn't weigh anything. You know, it is a pointless question to say how much does the world weigh. The world doesn't weigh anything, and neither does the sun. They are weightless, but they have tremendous mass to them. And that sun burns up every second, 4 million tons of itself to produce that kind of energy. You talk about power. Those of you who lived here in Iowa all of your lives at some time or another have had to have seen the results of a tornado somewhere. Now, you talk about power and the frightening strength that those swirling winds can generate. And they can pick up buildings and locomotives and, you know, just fantastic. In North Georgia, where I used to live, we had a tornado come by our school. And a home that was a brick home was well fastened into its foundation. The whole home was just lifted up in one great giant piece and swirled around and around and around until it finally disintegrated.
power.
And we live in a world, now where we talk much of power shortages, energy crisis. Everybody's talking about an energy crisis. But, this world has plenty of power if we would just, learn how to use it all and use it all well. If we could really, really tap the resources of atomic energy for peaceful purposes. Did you know that the atomic power in one drop of water can generate 200 horsepower constantly for 1 year? Now, 200 horsepower is ample horsepower to push an automobile around. That means that one drop of water, if we could really extract all of the atomic energy from that drop, you could drive your car constantly for 1 year. And finally, when you ran out of power, fellas, instead of pulling into a gas station, could tell your wife to go back and spit in the tank, and you'd be ready for another year. It's amazing. Did you know that one shovel full of sand, just plain, common, ordinary sand, if we were able to extract the atomic power out of that shovel full of sand, that we could generate enough electrical power to keep the city of Des Moines supplied for 25 years. That church bulletin that you were handed when you came in this morning has enough atomic power in it to take one of these giant 747s that once in a while lands at the airport, and to take one of those things and not only lift it off the ground, but transport it the whole way to Hawaii out of the power that is in that one piece of paper that was handed to you as a bulletin this morning. Unfortunately, we have yet to learn all of the secrets as to how to get that power out of there. But we're working at it. It's coming. But now I want to tell you about the greatest kind of power that there is in the universe. A power that was mightier than opening the Red Sea. And that is the power that God uses to transform your life from that of a sinner into a saint. Did you notice in our scripture reading this morning that Paul addressed the people at Rome as saints? He's called to be saints. Called to be perfect in Jesus. Called to wear the robe of His righteousness. Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel was the power unto salvation. The power that was used to transform those people. The power that God wants to use this morning to transform you and me into saints. To make us like Him, to carry away from us all of our stains and our guilt and all of our problems, and to make us like Jesus. That's power. Power unto salvation. The word salvation means to be saved from something. What does God want to use all that power to save us from? I think He wants to save us from physical illnesses. I really believe that. When we pray, we latch on to the power of healing. That happens. I think God gave us power through His servant to write for us counsels and diets and foods and these other fine pieces of information which were designed not to deprive us of things that taste good, but were designed to help us to be healthy, that we would be saved from physical illness. There isn't anything that God desires more this morning than for you to be physically well. God is not happy when you have a headache. God is not pleased when your ulcer is irritating you. God is not pleased when your back hurts. He wants very much for you to be the strongest, healthiest, happiest person
in the community. That's why he gave to us counsels on diets and foods. That's why he asked us not to eat certain things and to be moderate in other things. Not because he wants to keep good things from us. Because he wants us to be healthy long enough to enjoy good things and not to destroy ourselves. God this morning wants to save us from physically abusing ourselves with our forks and our spoons. God wants to save us this morning from danger. He wants to keep us safe from harm. I think the story of Balaam in the Old Testament is a perfect example of that. There stood Balaam on a mountainside trying to curse the children of Israel. And yet, God's protecting angels were hovering over the children, and nothing could touch them. I think one of my favorite paintings that really speaks to me is, I believe it's a Harry Anderson painting of two children playing at the edge of a cliff, picking flowers, and hovering above the children with his hand outstretched is a great, beautiful, mighty, powerful angel keeping them safe. I know you've seen the painting. It's a gorgeous thing. I just love it. It's one of my favorites. God wishes to save us from danger. He wishes to save us from sin's power, that sin would not reign over us, that we might be able to face temptation right in the face and say no to it and walk away. God would like to save us from his wrath. For even though God is love, God also has wrath. Next Sabbath, as we continue our study in Romans, we will study about God's wrath in verse 18. God wants to save us from his wrath. And finally, best of all, God wants to save us from this planet. God wants to lift us off and escort us with him to the New Jerusalem. And that's power unto salvation. Do you realize how much power it took to get Neil Armstrong to the moon? That great, mighty Saturn rocket with all of its power and engines and fuels, all of that was used to get that man up there. Do you realize that God's going to lift each one of us off of this planet? We're going to rise and meet him in the air and travel with him throughout the universe to the heavenly city, and we're not going to need a Saturn V rocket. The power of God unto salvation. This is what Paul is talking about. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power unto salvation. And then he says that salvation gives us righteousness by our faith. Righteousness by believing. Righteousness by trusting God to make us righteous. So many people, if you would describe, ask them to describe religion to you, they would describe religion in terms of being good and doing good. And I want to tell you this morning that that's not what religion is about at all. Religion is not at all about our being good and doing good. Christianity this morning is based on a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And once that love relationship with Jesus Christ becomes real to you and his robe of righteousness is about you, it is his goodness which is lived out in your life. It is his doing good in your life and not you. All of that goodness is his, not yours. And that's what it's really all about. Sometimes I think we look around at each other in the church and we say, oh, that person, they're so much better than I am. Hey, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. That person's goodness or lack of goodness is between them and Jesus Christ. The important thing for you this morning is to realize that your perfection your goodness can come instantaneously to you by believing this morning. And that's exciting. I don't have to worry about somebody else in the church who has been in the church for 20 years longer than I have and has had 20 more years of growth in Jesus. They're not any more perfect than I am. They're not any more perfect than you are. We are all 100% perfect when Jesus' robe of righteousness is on us. Do you understand that? It is Christ who is our righteousness. And that righteousness does not come by what we wear or do not wear. That righteousness does not come to us by what we eat or what we do not eat. We do not believe in righteousness by abstinence from mustard. We do not believe in righteousness by abstinence from Pepsi-Cola. We believe in righteousness by faith. Well, you say, but what about that mustard and coal and all that stuff? Hey, that was part of the health thing that God gave to you so that you could be healthy and happy, not so you could be righteous. That doesn't have anything to do with righteousness. That has to do with being healthy. God wants you to be healthy and happy. But he wants you to be righteous in Jesus this morning. Righteous by trusting. You know, faith really is trusting. To have faith in something is to trust it. I had faith when I walked out here on the platform this morning that chair there, that bench was going to hold me up. And so I sat down on it. If I didn't have faith that was going to hold me, I wouldn't have sat down on it. I trusted it to hold me. I had faith in it. Faith is trusting enough to submit yourself completely, to make a commitment. You know, making a commitment is what faith is all about. Have you ever been arguing with somebody about something and finally they said to you, okay, if you really believe that, put your money where your mouth is. Come on, if you really believe what you're saying, put some money down on it, I'll bet you. Oh, this is horrible for me to be talking about gambling during the sermon this morning. But isn't that really the point? Do you really believe that enough to put some of your cash on the line? Have you ever heard somebody say, you bet your life? Think about that. You bet your life? You really believe that well enough to bet your life? Do you know that history is full of martyrs who trusted Jesus enough that they bet their life on it? When they read in the scripture the promise that Jesus was coming again, when they read in Thessalonians that there was a resurrection from the dead, they had enough faith and trust in that they literally bet their lives that those texts were true. And they went to the stake to be burned and to the amphitheater for the lions to eat, because they bet their life. They trusted. That's what faith is all about. Commitment. Total commitment. And this morning, we receive righteousness how? By faith. By commitment. If you are willing this morning to commit your life to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ this morning is willing to commit to you his perfect righteousness. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but I know that it moves me. It really does. Because I'm all too aware of Roger Bothwell's failures, and there are many. You know, some of you I know saying this and that about the preacher sometimes, and you say, wish somebody would tell him, you know. Yeah. Some of you, bless your hearts, do tell me. Oftentimes the things that you do tell me about myself that are false, I'm already well aware of them. I just have a hard time with them. But I praise God this morning that Jesus Christ in His righteousness compensate for me. And this morning, I am not ashamed that I love Jesus. I am not ashamed of the good news of the gospel, because that good news of the gospel is power. Power unto salvation. Power enough to lift you and me and your husband and your wife and your children. Power to lift us all into the new kingdom. I'm anxious for that day, aren't you? The just shall live not by abstinence. The just shall live how? By faith.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.